and might have lost Commissioner Gonzalez. Commissioner Gonzalez, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, sorry.
I'm here.
Okay, thank you. All right, we are set to go. I'm going to read a note for you that's on the agenda for everyone. I'll make a kind of a brief statement, I guess, at this point. Obviously, this is not the usual way we do things from a meeting standpoint, and I would just ask that everyone please mute your phone so we can avoid some of the background noise that we may pick up or feedback, and we'll try to get through this as efficiently as possible. We certainly appreciate your understanding of that. Due to the declarations of emergency by the President of the United States, the Governor of Tennessee, the Mayor of Shelby County, and the Mayor of the City of Lakeland, Tennessee, because of the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, the Board of Commissioners of the City of Lakeland, Tennessee, will conduct its meetings by electronic, telephonic means of communication. We have sent out telephone number and access code. This has been publicly pushed out, so this is obviously an open meeting for folks to join in as well, and there'll be an opportunity for public comments as we normally have in our agenda. At this point, I will turn it over to the mayor. The mayor is in the conference room with me. We are adhering to our social distancing measures, but he is in the room, and I will turn it over to the mayor at this time.
Okay, thank you, Shane. And before I call the meeting to order, I'll start with a brief statement as well. I just want everyone to understand that we're holding this meeting electronically and remotely to ensure the safety and health of our citizens and staff. So that's the reason behind why we're doing it. And with that, I will call the meeting to order. I don't have my gavel, so I'll knock on the table here. As we move down the agenda, I will start, and I would ask everyone if you would to please bow your heads, and I will start with a brief invocation. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for being called to serve this city. We ask that you be with each and every one of our citizens during this pandemic and lay your healing hands on those that have been unfortunate and gotten ill. Please lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do. We thank you for forgiveness of our sins and everything else that happens within this life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we have a flag in the conference room, and I will stand, if you would, please, and if you have a flag, please face it and put your hand on your heart, and we will say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which
it stands, under God, indivisible, and eternal, for all.
Okay, thank you everyone. And I will ask Shane, who is acting recorder for this evening, to please call the roll.
Okay, Mayor Cunningham, here. Vice Mayor Roman,
here.
Commissioner Dial,
here.
Commissioner Gonzalez,
here.
Commissioner Wright,
here.
Thank you.
Okay, all present and accounted for. On the agenda, next item is public hearing. We do not have anything set for this line item, so I will go ahead and move on to item 6, which is the Treasurer's Report. And I think Michael...
Good evening, everyone.
Michael on the line. So.
Yes, I'm here. I heard the pause and thought you wanted me to go ahead and start. So, yes, I'm here. Michael Walker, Finance Director for the city. Hopefully everyone has the March Treasurer's Report in front of them. Should be a fairly quick review. I'll cover the points that are in our executive summary. Across all funds, fund balance for the month of March decreased from just over $28 million to almost $26 million, or a decrease of $2.1 million. The primary reason for the decrease was the transfer of the $3.2 million to the local school system, as per the MOU approved by the school board and the board of commissioners. And that was offset by a collection in March of an additional $1.1 million of property tax revenue. Those are the primary drivers behind the changes in fund balance for the month of March. Revenues by source in the general fund, we've collected approximately 94% of our property tax revenues for the year. That's on track with what would be expected just due to the timing of when the payments come in. The rest of them, as we talk about every time, the local tax and state shared revenues are kind of on a 2 month lag, so I'm not concerned about our collection rate on those. Grant revenues are based on the timing of our capital projects, and a lot of those are still hopefully to be extended within this fiscal year, and so those will kind of catch up at that point. And charges for services, licenses, and permits, a lot of those are one-time payments related to developments, and so hopefully we'll catch up to our budget on those as well for the end of the year. Overall, in the general fund, when you exclude capital outlays, we're at about 63% of our fiscal year budget compared to 75% of the time in the fiscal year that has passed. It's trending lower primarily due to public works, temporary employee wages that will be spent in the summer, as well as professional services, contracted services, and then for engineering, architectural, design, landscape type services. In the street fund, the primary drivers are the 2 month lag on the revenues, and on the expenditure side, it's the paving is a huge component of our expenditure budget, and that is to be spent as we get closer to the summertime. Debt service fund, we're tracking along as we should, so I'm just going to kind of skip over that. Sewer fund, the operating expenses lower than target, mostly due to personnel costs related to temp workers, insurance payments not yet incurred, professional fees not yet incurred. Expect that to track along with the budget by the end of the fiscal year. I'm trying to skim over some things we've talked about every month since I've been here so that we're not just repeating the same thing every month. Stormwater fund, year-to-date progress, again, no big concerns on those, as well as with the solid waste fund. Expenditures are lower than target again due to some temporary wages, vehicle was purchased, building improvements that are in the budget, they've just not yet been expended. And we didn't have any budget transfers in the month of March. We likely will have some for April, just trying to move some funds around within funds as we're authorized to do. Based on the trends, our expenditure trends, so far this fiscal year. So with that, I'll just open it up to any specific questions anyone may have.
Okay, the floor is open if anybody would like to ask Michael anything regarding the treasurer's report.
No, I'll save any questions I have for our budget session. Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Anyone else? Okay,
I'll just have a conversation next week for whenever meeting after that.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
All right.
And thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate it.
That's a hard part to delay.
I know.
Okay, we'll move on to reports from committees. The first is the sheriff's report. Do we have a representative from the sheriff's department on the call that would like to summarize the report? Sam, would you like to come and just...
Sure. I don't see a deputy on the line. I did send out the sheriff's report that I received earlier this week. It looks like we had in the month of March 24 incidents. Just kind of glancing through them. Unlocked doors seem to be a recurring theme again that we've been hearing. If you look under the method of entry for the burglaries or theft, they're through unlocked doors. There were 24 incidents. Five of the 24 were for theft related incidents. Don't see anything else unless anyone else has anything to bring up out of the report itself.
Yeah, I was just going to comment that when you have nice weather, usually there's an uptick, but because so many more people are home, I think it's keeping it down.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Shane, for covering the sheriff's report, and now it's time to move down to your report.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to make a couple brief comments. As we all know, in dealing with the coronavirus, we're, as a staff, spending a significant amount of time trying to provide updates and briefings. This is an ever-changing kind of hour-by-hour issue. You know, as staff, we try to plan for in our emergency planning documents things such as tornadoes, earthquakes, you know, ice storms, flooding. I don't think, you know, in dealing with a pandemic of this magnitude, obviously we did not have that prepared in our documents, and I think we're not any different than any other municipality, but certainly something that we will be considering going forward from a planning standpoint. Just to remind you all, we all know where we're currently at. On March 20th, the mayor signed and executed a declaration of state of emergency for the city of Lakeland. On March 24th, executed a civil emergency proclamation and executive order, Safer at Home. This declaration and emergency order have been extended in 7-day increments per state statute. Our current orders as we stand right now expire at 6 p.m. on Friday, April 10. I do have, the mayor just executed the next 7-day extension, so we will be getting that out to all of our media partners tomorrow morning, extending those that declaration and civil emergency proclamation through April 17th at 6 p.m. Currently, all of our city staff is what I would consider mission status yellow. Really, the only reason for the yellow status is our reduced staffing numbers, just from we're working at alternative working schedule. So we have 32 full-time employees, so on any one day that number has been cut in half, so about 15 to 16 employees in and around City Hall on any one day, just to reduce that number of employees that are in the building. So because of that reduction, we are still doing all of our essential services, still providing everything that we have prior to the pandemic. However, we may not be as timely as we've been in the past. Again, just from that standpoint of trying to provide those essential functions to get us through this pandemic, if you will. Currently, City Hall, the Senior Center, IH Clubhouse, all of our playgrounds are closed right now through Friday, May 1st. We will evaluate that as that time period comes closer to determine if there's any opportunities or needs to extend that out even further. A few other things that we've done recently, in April meetings, our PRB, BOA, community advisory board meetings have all been canceled for the month of April. We will be having our MPC, DRC, and IDB meetings as scheduled. Obviously, those will both be done remotely. And then we've also postponed the April 25th community cleanup day. We will be trying to reschedule that as soon as we kind of get the all clear and kind of somewhat return to a normal state. So the April 25th annual community cleanup day will be postponed until further notice. A few other things I wanted to highlight, staffing changes. I'm thrilled to welcome Pat O'Mara as our new Parks and Recreation Director. Pat started March 30th. And obviously this has been somewhat of a strange time to bring new staff on, just with the transition that we're experiencing currently, but Pat's done a great job of picking things up and is certainly excited to be on board, and we're certainly thrilled to have him. We've also hired Graham Embry as our new construction inspector. He replaces Ulysses Rosales, who has sought other opportunities. So Graham started on April 7th and has joined Matt Brown in that department. Also wanted to remind you is next Tuesday, April 14th, at 4 o'clock, which is obviously a little different start time, but to facilitate kind of getting through the workshop, we've set this up for, again, Tuesday, April 14th, 4 o'clock, as our budget workshop as we kind of walk through line by line the upcoming budget and trying to get as much information from all of our elected officials as possible to bring that all back together and try to have a first reading potentially in May and then followed by second reading in June to get our fiscal year budget adopted. That's my report for today. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Floor is open if anybody would like to ask questions or make comments. Okay, hearing none, I would just like to say welcome to Pat O'Mara, myself, the mayor, welcome to the city staff of Lakeland, and also to Graham Embry as well. We're really thrilled to have them come on board and glad they chose Lakeland as part of their career. So welcome aboard. And with that, we will move on to the commissioner's report. And I believe we only would have two, and so I will ask Commissioner Dial if you would like to go first.
No, we have not had another Parks and Rec meeting. I'll give a report next month.
Okay. And that will lead me to Commissioner Wright. Do you have anything you would like to report?
Nothing to report. I was going to add one item to the agenda, but I guess I'll do that a little bit later. There was an IDB meeting online. I was just there in attendance because I'm not officially on it, and that went well. Helping push Lakeland Town Square forward, previously known as Lakeland Commons. So that's exciting. Thank you.
All right. Fantastic. That completes the report section. We will now move on to public comment. Do we have anyone on the phone that would like to make a public comment? I would just ask that you, if you would, speak up with your name, and then we'll kind of put them in order. And then when you do get to speak, if you would please list your name and address for the record. Anybody like to speak? I'm giving people time to hit the mute button just in case. Okay, hearing no public comments, we will move on to sewage commission business, which I see we have none, so we will bypass that. And we will move right on to the consent agenda, and I would ask Shane if he would please read the consent agenda.
Approval of meeting minutes from previous meetings, regular meeting minutes from March 12th, 2020.
Do I have a motion to bring that to the floor?
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, because we're doing this electronically, we'll have to do all of our votes by roll call. We have no choice in that. So I will ask Shane to please call the roll.
Mayor Cunningham?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Roman?
Yes.
Commissioner Dial?
Yes.
Commissioner Gonzalez?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Okay. Consent agenda passes unanimously. We will move on to regular agenda, and I will ask Shane to please read item number one.
Item number one, ordinance, first reading, amending certain provisions of Title 14, Chapter 4 of the City of Lakeland, Tennessee Municipal Code relating to appeals from the Design Review Commission to the Board of Commissioners.
So moved.
Second.
Who moved that? I'm sorry.
Josh.
Okay, thank you.
Got that. Yeah.
Okay, yep.
All right, so the motion is on the floor and seconded. The floor is open for discussion.
Sure, I'll start off. So the idea is that right now our ordinance is more stringent than the state ordinance. The state ordinance says that a simple majority will work. And right now we currently have a super majority or a 4 out of 5. And I didn't see the need for that, and I wanted a second opinion, so I brought it to the floor. And I would like to see it become a majority. Anything 3 out of 5 commissioners want for the city of Lakeland should be the best interest of the city of Lakeland. So I would ask you guys to vote for that.
May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor. Is this Commissioner Gonzalez? Okay. I can't see James' screen, so I'm sorry. I'm having to try to hear it by ear.
We can't see you either. all right, lots of concerns here. My first concern is with doing this in favor of this one certain developer. I'm also concerned that this does make the requirements in Lakeland more restrictive, but we can always do that as a city. I think we need to protect the integrity of the DRC and not have to make a tough decision. It's obvious that signs in Lakeland are a big issue, and this can't be changing this ordinance just in favor of one developer, which is going to cause problems for us in the future, significant problems. Frankly, I'm hearing this from people out in the community that they're beginning to believe that Lakeland's run by police commissioners and developers, in some cases, city commissioners and the school board. I think we're showing favoritism here, and it's not a good idea. Finally, I want to point out that a while back I asked that we have a meeting for all of the volunteer boards live stream, like the Jesus meeting. And there was a lot of concern that we didn't want to put the members of those boards through the gauntlet, if I could say that, like we do as commissioners. But here we are wanting to make it hard for the DRC to make a decision regarding sign ordinance, because anything they can do can be overridden by the DRC with the majority. The folks from the DRC work hard. They have the best interest of working in heart and the affluence and make tough decisions. So if I was sitting on that board and this amendment came up, I'd be concerned, because it wouldn't really matter how much work I put into that job. how much due diligence we do when the other board does when you make a decision. This is going to simply be overridden by a majority vote of the VLC. I think it's a slap in the face of that board and a show of positive confidence. I think we need to keep a super majority. By the way, when the change is made, there will be a reason to do it, and a real reason to override the VRC and become the final one. Just to do it because when the developer brings the sign package to it, which violates a good part of our sign ordinance, and the VRC hasn't really been voting on it yet. The developer knew it was going through a public sale, setting it through the ordinance, which is the sign thing. So, here we are, changing the rules just to accommodate one developer. And it's a bad precedent for our city, and I'm deeply concerned. I really think that we need to rethink this, and if necessary, we can put it off so we'll have a meeting and we all look at each other and discuss this and further the public. That would be my recommendation on how to handle this. Thank you.
Request the floor, Mr. Mayor.
May I have the floor? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Vice Mayor. Vice Mayor, that first, I will give him the floor.
I just wanted to make a simple point is that our current ordinance is not in line with the TCA, Tennessee Code Annotated. We see the majority of the creation of Mason, who was created by a board of commissioners, the same way this is being considered by this board of commissioners. There's nothing in this ordinance that specifies one developer over another. So again, I would ask us to be in line with the Tennessee Code Annotated in the state of Tennessee and vote yes on this ordinance.
May I have the floor?
Commissioner Wright asked for the floor next. I'll give him the floor, and then I'll get to you, Commissioner Gonzalez.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I think we need to have consistency with all things. I think this is the most representative of the democratic process when you have the opportunity. People are elected, and they are allowed to dominate the city. I think we have to be careful when we're talking about the NDCPRC and what the way that was discussed. That is not a violation of the sign ordinance, because in 2016 a sign package allows for what we had gone over multiple meetings over several months, and we're still at a stalemate. And now I don't think it's just for this. I think we're looking forward. I think it needs to be consistent with what the state mandates are allowed, and I think we need to keep things in perspective there. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Gonzalez, you have the floor.
That's it.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to point out that first of all, this would never come up had the package submitted by Mr. Yehuda installed at the DRC. This would never come up. This is only if it's favor. And to say something like that, it is not being truthful. The second issue is, I think it's fine that we can make a coordinate more restricted than the state has in the state standards. We have that right. And finally, it just concerns me that we just need to do this. And we have again, we do it for one developer. And that's what we're doing here. And to say something different is a punishment. And finally, on that sign ordinance, after reading through that thing and sitting through the DRC meetings, NPC meetings, that thing's a mess. I mean, you're telling me that we have ordinance out there that in one church he says that general requirements of the sign ordinance can be adjusted to meet the, in this paraphrase, to meet the requirements of a certain development. Well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But you also have a discussion about prohibited signs. So I don't understand how you can change that ordinance to allow a prohibited sign, specifically a sign that's over 35 feet. Now, if we need to go back and change that ordinance, let's do it. You know, because it's kind of, you know, when you do that, it's interesting. And that's a big look in our ordinance. I think we should go back and fix that. But just to change the ordinance in order to allow a super majority to override, you know, to take the super majority requirement out to override the city of the DRC, which is wrong. So it's obvious why we're doing it. And I don't like it when three of my fellow members up there, or this city admission, that it's okay to do that. You know, it's just not right. And I think we're going down a slippery slope here, and we're showing favoritism to one developer. And if you don't think we are, then I guess we'll just have to roll with it. Thank you.
Mr. Dow, you have the floor.
I would like to ask you to ask fellow commissioners to refrain from calling fellow commissioners liars in the context of a conversation, please. Thank you.
All right.
I did not say that. I said truthful. Thank you.
I would also like to note, Mr. Mayor, that twice was called a liar, and once was, stated that this is a poor specific developer, which is nowhere in the ordinance. Thank you.
Okay, I will ask Commissioner Gonzalez to refrain from speaking directly about other commissioners. And I will ask if there's any other discussion. Anybody else like the floor? Okay, hearing
real quick, Mr. Wright here. I think we need to make sure that we need to make sure we're being objective and not making anything personal toward a certain developer or a certain anyone. We just need to make sure we're doing the right thing for Lakeland and development in general and what we're addressing here. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Wright. Okay, I will finish up the discussion with this, and I'll just put in my two cents worth. I've had several conversations with the city attorney. I'm one that believes that this body, the Board of Commissioners, the elected officials are the ones who have the true authority to give the adjustments to a sign package for a particular development, be it whichever or any development. I just, after hearing and doing a lot of research, I don't believe that it's in the best interest to let a board of volunteers, which is INTC and DRC, be put in a position to make those decisions. I believe that it needs to come before our Board of Commissioners because this is kind of game-changing for the city of Lakeland. However, I believe the supermajority is put there for a reason, and it's to make sure that we're able to hold accountable people that come and walk and build and do business here and not just be given a simple majority to get something through. And I say all that to kind of make my interpretation of what I believe is the right way to do this, and I believe it's the right way for if in fact this is referring to the sign package that we have been reviewing in the NPC DRC, I'm inclined to support it. I'm inclined to support it at the DOC level as opposed to letting that board put themselves out there with the variances, not necessarily variances, I know that was the wrong word, sorry Will, but with the adjustments to allowing things that are outside of our sign ordinance. I believe needs to be the decision of the Board of Commissioners. So, and I fully support keeping that at a supermajority, because I believe that holds the checks and balances within this city's government. I believe that's why it was put into place. So that's my thoughts on the thing, but I'm only one vote, and I try to be, you know, as clear as I can with what I believe is the right thing to do. I believe we should leave this ordinance alone and let this particular sign package, if this is what we're discussing, run its course, because I believe that the outcome will be different from what a lot of people assume that it is right now. So that's all I have to say. Hearing no further comments, I will ask James to please call the roll.
Mayor Cunningham?
No.
Vice Mayor Roman?
Yes.
Commissioner Dial?
Yes.
Mr. Gonzalez?
No.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
All right.
First reading of the ordinance passes on a 3-2 vote.
All right. Same if you would. That's you. Sorry, he's taking notes. Once he gets caught up, I'll ask him to read ordinance number 2.
Ordinance number 2 is a first reading amending the fiscal year 2019-2020 budget passed by ordinance 19-275 as amended by ordinance 20-278.
All right, do I have a motion to bring this to the floor?
So moved.
And do I have a second?
Second.
All right, motion by Commissioner Dial, seconded by Commissioner Wright. The floor is open for discussion, and I will ask Mr. Michael if he would enlighten us.
Hello again. This amendment is much shorter than we read and passed in the December and January meetings. This is to get us positioned for the end of the fiscal year to ensure that none of our funds exceed appropriations. That's a state statute. And the biggest amendment on here is to formally amend and approve the transfer to the Lakeland School System Fund for the $3.2 million that was transferred to them as part of the MOU for the multi-use athletic field. The remaining in the general fund amendment of about $15,183 are due to some needed increases in appropriations related to some salaries and HSA retirement contributions and other professional services and planning. The engineering, I believe, is just a reason for the amendment here is that in the allocation that was changed for fiscal year 20 related to how some of the engineering salaries are allocated across funds, there may have been a miscalculation. I'm not really sure in the original budget. And then the planning, other professional services is to allow us to ensure that we have sufficient appropriations to cover the contract city planner services that we're currently using due to that vacancy. Then the solid waste fund, as you see, we're amending or proposing amending an increase to the revenues. The collection charges are trending higher than originally budgeted. And primarily the other contracted services and contracted services related to both waste pickup and waste pickup, those have increased over the course of this year, which is good that our citizens are using those more, but we need to amend the budget to ensure that that's covered. The Lakeland School System, the numbers for them will change. As you know, this Board of Commissioners formally approved their budget as amended as well. They're passing further amendments, I believe, on Monday night. That's their plan. So on second reading, this will be updated to their most current amendments that they have passed. And I'm open to any questions.
Josh, would like a question.
You have the floor.
Well, thank you, sir. So looking at the solid waste, is this a trend? It looks like, with this deficit, is this a one-time expense? Because obviously if this is a trend, because we're already negative for the year, then that's not something that is sustainable. So is there anybody that can talk a little bit about that?
Okay. Anyone, you have to unmute first.
So the biggest deficit is due to the recycling cost. So our processing of our recyclables is significantly higher because of contamination. And we have, even through our education efforts, we have not seen a reduction in contamination. So I am trying to work on getting moving to another processor in a different county, but that is, it just takes time to get that set up. So that's the majority of the deficit in that fund is the additional recycle cost.
At what point do you come to us with concern? Because looking at that fund, I would think we're pretty close to that.
Well, if we can change processors, I think we're fine. We have a fairly substantial fund balance in that account, so I'm not concerned at this point, and I have been making provisions to move processors, hopefully by near the first part of the next fiscal year. So we've reached out to them. They are able to take our product. I just have to purchase the compactor and get the slab board so that we can actually move those materials to Henderson County, or Chester County. So probably within, the first July or August, I'll be able to take those to a different processor. That will make a huge difference. Their per ton rate that they quoted us is $25 a ton. We are currently paying $117 a ton, and then with contamination is another $75 a ton. So even though we're hauling it a distance, it's still a significant saving.
This is Michael. I'll just point out also that what Emily was just saying is baked into our planned budget that we'll discuss next Tuesday evening, the reduction in the other contracted services, and currently the plan for the solid waste fund for fiscal year 21 is that the only reason that it will be dipping into fund balance at all will be related to capital needs, which is consistent with the intent of our fund balance policy.
Anybody else like the floor?
This is Commissioner Wright. I just want to thank Emily for looking for another option. I think the person that owns the one we've been using, they're probably also giving us a better time than they need to be, but I'm glad that Emily was able to find something better. I think it's a much, much better move.
Okay, I will close the floor for discussion, and I will ask Shane to please call the roll for a vote.
Vice Mayor Roman?
Yes.
Commissioner Dial?
Yes.
Commissioner Gonzalez?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Mayor Cunningham?
Yes.
First reading passes 5-0.
All right. Moving right along. You caught up on your notes?
I think so.
Okay, we will move on, and I will ask Shane to please read resolution number 3.
Item number 3 on our agenda is a resolution adopting a financial policies manual for the City of Lakeland.
Do I have a motion to bring it to the floor? Second. All right. The motion was by Commissioner Wright, I believe, and the second was by Commissioner Dyer. All right. The floor is open for discussion. I will ask Mr. Michael to enlighten us on the financial manual.
Right, so as we discussed in the March meeting, I think when a draft of this document was given to you as commissioners, this is intended to document many of the financial policies that the city has already been following, many of them the city has already been following that just have not been documented. It's also intended to put into one comprehensive document existing financial policies that we have. Kind of the driver for doing this now is that these financial policies need to be listed in the annual budget documents that we're preparing, hopefully for submission, for recognition of excellence in budgetary reporting. And on page 5 of the document, it kind of lists out which resolutions may be superseded into this document and then which ordinances or policy provisions via ordinance are not being changed by this document. Sets of those ordinances are simply being listed in this document. So the existing resolutions and ordinances are not being incorporated into one comprehensive document. The other policies that are in this document, some of them are new. For example, I believe the city has always done kind of unofficially a 5-year CIP plan, but it is a 5-year plan and 5-year long-term financial plan, for example, in the general fund, have not previously been a component of the annual budget document, and they will be going forward. So this is designed to strengthen and improve our existing policies that are documented in the workplace. So with that, I would just say, hopefully, you have all and any specific questions.
I'll ask for the floor when appropriate. Second.
Vice Mayor has the floor.
Yes, on page, Michael, first, thank you for this work, and I do think it's something that's needed. Is this a power move with your name behind you there on the wall?
No, it's the only place in the house my wife will let me put my name behind it.
That's awesome. Hey, on page 26, you put a definition of non-spendable, but I couldn't really find where that was used in the rest of the document. My question is, can you talk to us about that we're expected to get right back? So in my mind, I'm thinking of the building of New Canada Road, how we may end up through the financing process, obviously dipping back and forth over any given 6-month period of time. And so I just wanted you to talk a little about the non-spending on page 26 and how that relates to the cash flow management of the projects that we expect to be in the first time. Thank you.
So typically what I've seen with the city of Lakeland over the past several years is the only time that we really have something that goes into the non-spendable category is when we have at the end of the fiscal year a prepaid expenditure or we pay deposits on certain projects and things of that nature. Typically any other type of asset or something that will show up on our balance sheet, because this is a balance sheet only categorization, so any other type of asset such as and even in the governmental fund, CIP doesn't even show up on the balance sheet, but that's a separate categorization when we roll it up for external financial reporting. But non-spendable typically just related to those prepaid expenditures or deposits. For example, at the end of fiscal 19, I believe we had some a prepaid payment to the state of Tennessee related to the ADA compliance, and that was the only thing that was categorized as non-spendable fund balance. And so, yes, those do typically from one fiscal year to the next kind of shift between if they land at the end of the fiscal year and non-spendable, and the next year they're likely going to be unassigned. I'm not sure if that answers your question fully, but...
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure it didn't have more weight than I expected that it did. That it was more for an understanding focus rather than a, you know, necessarily a categorization. So I feel very good about that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
This is Commissioner Mike. Just thank you, Michael, for all your work. I think we're in a much better situation financially, but also with you at the helm helping us out. I'm really pleased to do your work. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And floor.
Commissioner Gonzalez, you have the floor.
Michael, I also want to commend you for the job you're doing over there, and I appreciate you taking the time to answer the questions I sent you. And also, Patrick, we'll check out a little. It's cleared a lot of things up for me. I was having a lot of questions, and I appreciate you addressing for me. It's a great work you do.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate that.
Anybody else like the floor for discussion? All right, I will close the floor and ask James to please call the roll.
Vice Mayor Roman?
Yes.
Mr. Dial?
Yes.
Mr. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Mayor Cunningham?
Yes.
Resolution passes 5 yeas, 0 nays.
All right. Thank you very much. If you would, please move on and read resolution number 4.
Number 4 is a resolution authorizing amendment number 2 with Bucart Horn Incorporated for the design of the Clear Creek Interceptor Phase A.
Do I have a motion to bring this to the floor?
To remove.
Oh. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right.
Motion. Sorry, was that Commissioner? Second. Commissioner Gonzalez, second.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
All right. The floor is open for discussion. I would ask Emily if you would please to fill it in.
Okay, so when we were attempting to get the permit through the Corps of Engineers for the Clear Creek Interceptor project, we ran into a little hiccup with CIPO, which is the State Historic Preservation Office. There is a cultural site identified on one of the properties that we're crossing, and so we worked with CIPO to shift the line away from that cultural site so that we don't have to do further investigation, and so that's what this cost increase is. $9,126 is the additional survey and the reworking of the alignment for the site.
Can we ask what that was? Cultural?
They will, so CIPO will identify where exactly on the site or any information about that, the cultural site. For, I suspect it's so that people don't, you know, try to disturb it. But anyway, no, so we just had to submit them revised drawings until they finally said, yes, we feel like you're far enough away from the site.
Okay.
I imagine that all this undeveloped territory, we're going to run into things more often like that.
Yeah, I think it was developed, I think it was identified back in the 70s, but that just means that's when it was discovered and reported to CIPO, so I don't know how far back it goes.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. I will close the floor for discussion and ask Shane to please call the roll.
Vice Mayor Roman?
Yes.
Commissioner Dial?
Yes.
Commissioner Gonzalez?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Mayor Cunningham?
Yes.
Resolution passes 5 yeas, 0 nays.
All right. I will ask Shane if you would please read resolution number 5.
Item number 5 is a resolution to approve a preliminary engineering reimbursement agreement with Texas Gas for the New Canada Road project.
Do I have a motion to bring that to the floor?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Got that?
Yep.
Second. Mr. Wright.
Yep, got you. Thank you.
And I would ask Emily if she would please to enlighten us on this resolution.
Okay, so this is the New Canada Road project. As you know, I've been kind of back and forth with Texas Gas on the upgrades that we're required to do for the crossing. They're close to Ice Park. And so this is actually our second stab at a design. The first design that they did was an open cut design, and the cost came back at $8 million. And that would also require us to build a diversion road. They told me that that would be a much cheaper option, and when we got the cost back, it obviously is not very cheap. So they have gone back to the drawing board, and they are going to do a combination of a bore just under the existing road, and then they'll open cut outside of that to do the upgrades to the line. So we expect that probably the cost is going to come in about the same as far as Texas Gas construction costs, but we will not have to construct the diversion road. We will not have to go back through the environmental and right-of-way phases to get clearance to do that diversion road. So ultimately, we'll probably save about $2 million on that total relocation. So their cost for design is estimated to be around $400,000. This is funded through STDG grants, and so it's an 80-20. So our match would be $80,000. Are there any questions related to this?
You know, not a question, Commissioner Wright. I know it's been a can of worms. So I understand that it's been a moving target, and I appreciate you being on top of it.
Thanks.
Well, you're doing good work.
I'll ask for the floor. Can I come in?
You have the floor, Mr. Mayor.
Sure, Emily. Thank you very much. Spending $80,000 to save $2 million sounds like a great deal to me. My only question was about the budget. In fact, it looks like it's budgeted for fiscal year 20, which so do you expect this to get done in the next 3 to 4 months, or tell us a little about the timing of it.
Yeah, so this is just their design. So yeah, I would say in the next 3 or 4 months it should be complete. With New Canada Road, when I budget that, there are some unknowns, and so I try to budget, you know, a little extra money in there for these kind of things that come up. So in the next budget year, we're going to recertify our environmental, and so we have, you know, some costs for that. May be somewhat unknown. So we have the money in this budget. If we need to roll over part of it to next year's budget, I feel certain that what I've budgeted will cover any additional cost that rolls over. But they should be able to have it done in the next 3 to 4 months.
Thank you very much. I'll yield my time.
All right. Anybody else like the floor for further discussion? Hearing none, I will ask James to please call the roll.
Vice Mayor Roman?
Yes.
Mr. Dial?
Yes.
Mr. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Mayor Cunningham?
Yes.
Resolution passes 5 yeas, 0 nays.
All right. And if you would please read the final resolution for tonight.
Item number 6 is a resolution authorizing the mayor to sign a proclamation in recognition of National Crime Victims Rights Week.
I will make a motion to bring that to the floor. Do I have a second?
Second. Second.
Thank you.
All right.
Was that Commissioner Gonzalez, I believe? Sorry.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. I'll just speak to this momentarily. I received an email from Mary Ann Donovan, who is the wife of Michael Donovan, who is Attorney General here in Tennessee. The National Crime Victims Rights Week is, I believe it's next week, it's the 16th and the 23rd. And she's asked all the municipalities in West Tennessee to make a proclamation in recognition of the victims' rights as far as crime goes. So I read through her paperwork and realized this was would be a great thing for us to make a proclamation towards. And so I came to put that on the agenda, and I appreciate the support recognizing the rights of victims in our area. Any comment or discussion?
It's a very nice thing to be recognized.
Absolutely, thank you. Anyone else like to make comment or discussion? And hearing none, I will close the floor for discussion, and I will ask Shane to please call the roll.
Vice Mayor Roman?
Yes.
Commissioner Dial?
Yes.
Commissioner Gonzalez?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Mayor Cunningham?
Yes.
Resolution passes 5 yeas, 0 nays.
Okay, this completes our agenda for the evening. I will ask if anyone has any announcements they would like to make.
Yes, Commissioner Wright. I'll just add one last item. I'm not sure it has to be a resolution. Will or Shane can chime in on this.
Will, are you on the line?
Can you hear me okay?
Do you have a motion to add?
Yes, hear me okay?
Do you have a motion to
add? Yes, add a discussion. Yes, add a discussion item.
Regarding?
Oh, sorry. Make sure y'all can hear me. This is a delay, I guess. So, I've been working with several groceries about trying to set up a donation food bank supply center. St. Paul has graciously offered to post and be able to distribute to people that are in need. And I also want to authorize, Shane to purchase those goods so we can take them over to St. Paul so they can be distributed.
I'll second the motion to add an agenda item of discussion and possible action regarding St. Paul food bank.
All right. I have a motion by Commissioner Wright, second by Vice Mayor Roman, to add the discussion item as already noted. Any other discussion on adding this item? Okay, hearing none, I will ask Shane to call the roll on adding the item to the agenda.
Vice Mayor Roman.
Yes.
Commissioner Dial?
Yes.
Commissioner Gonzalez?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Mayor Cunningham?
Yes.
Resolution to add a discussion item passes 5 yeas, 0 nays.
Okay, we now have a new discussion item, and did you catch notes on that thing to, you need to read through that to bring it to the floor?
I just got it down, adding a discussion item regarding donating food for Lakeland residents in need.
Okay, do I have
Okay.
Yes, to the floor.
So moved.
Second.
All right, I have a motion by Commissioner Wright, seconded by Vice Mayor Roman, and Commissioner Gonzalez both. And so the discussion item and possible action is on the floor. So I will turn it over to you, Commissioner Wright, and let you fill it in.
Yes, thank you. So basically, I understood that there's a limit to what the city manager is authorized to purchase. Correct me if I'm wrong, it's $10,000. What we're looking to acquire is less than that. It's good, but I've been looking around and asking different people, and finally was able to get Kroger, that one of our residents who's the manager there has worked and been able to acquire about 4 pallets of goods that could be very useful for people in need. And St. Paul, I've been working with them for several weeks, and so it's finally come together, and we just need to be able to purchase the goods for the city. I think Shane is the one to be the one getting this to happen. So I would love to have you guys all support it and be able to get it done. So it is time to do this. Thank you.
I have a question.
Mr. Dow, you have the floor.
Yes.
Mr. Wright, would the money for this food items and supplies come from the money that Tom Leatherwood sent us all an email about? Is that where the money would come from?
That's a great question. I'm not sure it might be able to, and maybe Will can comment on that. What are the parameters of what it can be used for?
You'll have to refresh my recollection about the email you're referring to from Representative Leatherwood.
He sent us an email that referred to money being released statewide for COVID-19 relief in certain categories. I don't remember seeing anything about food, but I'm just wondering if that would fit within those parameters. I'm going to look for it right now.
I'll request the floor.
Vice Mayor Roman, you have the floor.
Yeah, I think Mr. Walker would probably be the best source of that information. I believe it's a statewide grant that is actually very broad, but as the last line does, offer for COVID-19 expenses as well. And I believe if this food drive is meant to support people in time of need of COVID-19, that we definitely qualify. But I believe that it's Mr. Walker. But my question was for Commissioner Wright around the logistics. Like, can you talk about what this is required as far as human capital from the city of Lakeland, or is it fully supported by the church that they would just like funding from the city of Lakeland? I'll give my time.
So it's totally hands off beyond funds being provided by the city. After that, human capital, everyone being volunteering for St. Paul would be able to move it from Kroger, St. Paul. They would take it off of Phillips, and they would organize it, and then there people could they could pull up and pick up goods, not enter the church, but they can distribute from there. So it'd be totally hands off to the city of Lakeland.
Mr. Gonzalez, can the floor, please?
Yes, Mr. Gonzalez, you have the floor.
Just a couple quick questions.
I think the dollar amount was just around $300,000 mark or something like that. I'll get the email somewhere too, and I can't find it right now. The next question is, you said just for Lakeland residents, that's fine, this is, you know, just, I'm sure if somebody sent them across the street, it would serve them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so the idea is to push it through the Lakeland channels, but to be able to contain it just within Lakeland, that might be a difficult task.
Yeah. Good idea, Mom. I appreciate you doing that. And if I can send help out in road stuff, I'll be glad to help.
We can definitely keep people posted, and I'll let you guys know.
I have a quick question.
This is Michael Mayer.
Go ahead, Michael, and then I'll ask mine.
Yeah, I was just going to point out that the $308,000 of governor local support grants are for expenditures after July 1st of 2020. It's in their fiscal year 21 budget, I believe, based on everything that I've read about that. And the other thing that I just wanted to point out is that if we proceed with making a donation to the food bank or to any nonprofit organization or have seen municipalities in the past get kind of a slap on the wrist from the state by not following the state laws specifically related to communicating the intent to donate and the intended use of the funds in a newspaper of local circulation. So I want to make sure that that is covered as well before any funds are actually remitted to the St. Paul Food Pantry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. That's just one more reason why it's more invaluable to us, that information.
Do you think this is do you think by the 14th, I apologize, Dr. Sherman, you just left the floor.
Yes, absolutely.
Mr. Walker, do you think this is something that we can have printed or available by the 14th meeting of the will of the body?
I would assume so, because I don't think it takes very long for the press release. I know Shane typically generates the press releases that go out to our communication in our local newspapers, and I'm sure that can be done on either Monday or Tuesday if this is approved and we proceed with it.
Commissioner Rod, I'd ask you to follow that as a recommendation.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So, let me make sure I understand the timeline. If we were able to pick up the goods, which we have to pay before we pick up on Monday, would that be possible?
I can have further discussions with Will and Halsey offline to see if anything's been relaxed in this, obviously, this very unusual issue that we're dealing with, to try to facilitate this in a timely manner, if we can go ahead and do so, based on our normal way we would do things, as Michael mentioned, just based on the pandemic that we're dealing with, if some of that may be relaxed during this time.
That sounds great. I'll take the support of the DOC and just making sure we're getting this done right, and we can just move it forward. Thank you,
Commissioner. Do you have a dollar amount that you've been working with? Obviously, there's the spending authority that I have, but do you know kind of what ballpark you're in?
Yes. Right now, it's not the final amount, but right now it's $5,300, and it might get a little bit above that, but I don't think much further. It's not getting close to $10,000.
Thank you.
All right. So, if I'm my notes are correct, I believe the Vice Mayor asked Commissioner Wright to defer this until we're back together, until we can get an opinion on spending funds in this manner, per the Financial Director, Mr. Walker's recommendation. Am I correct?
Can I respond to that, Mr. Mayor?
Sure, absolutely.
It sounded like there may be, the timing may be up in the air as far as when we're able to get that press release out. I was just asking Commissioner Wright to give Mr. City Manager the leeway to be able to disperse funds after we meet that criteria. If that criteria is met earlier, then that's fine. Obviously, this is something we're showing support for the city manager for. It's not something that we're voting on. So I would ask that, you know, to the best of our ability, that we try to follow that guideline. Thank you.
Okay. Can you get that?
What's Commissioner Wright, man, for?
Sure.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm basically wanting to recommend that the city manager be allowed to purchase with, of course, a limit. And that way we can get it done. And if I'm worried about there being delay, press release or from the, many other channels, that we allow the city manager up to 6 points to spend so that we can get this, the supply of stitches sooner.
You got that? You know what
I just made some notes and you can correct it, but essentially a resolution authorizing the city manager to acquire food for donating to Lakeland residents in need due to COVID-19 in partnership with St. Paul's Church. If you want to put a up to not to exceed amount, that would be fine as well.
Yes, not to exceed, it's not going to get near the 5,000, but this needs to be right. Not to exceed 10,000. If people are uncomfortable with that, we can lower it to 8.
Quick,
8 should do it.
You said you were at 5,300 a minute ago. I'm just asking you.
Maybe there was a bad signal. Yeah, 5,300, because it's palace.
Okay, so I would just recommend that, and I'll let you make your motion, but I would recommend we probably cap that at 6,000 at that point, because that gives us a $700 leeway.
I'm not sure. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What other expense are you anticipating above the 5,300?
So they're looking to put together another pallet, and so a pallet is probably going to cost over $1,000. So I think if we cap it at 6, that we may not be able to get that extra pallet in there.
What about 5,500?
That might do it. 5,500 won't do it.
Okay, Commissioner Gonzalez has asked for the floor. I will give you the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would say cap it at 8, Wesley, just to make sure that we got plenty of money. We don't have to spend it all. But there's no sense in having it's not doing what needs to be done. So I'll say cap it at 8.
If I support 8 would be wise, just for the leeway.
You got mine.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is Commissioner Bowles. Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Mr. Wright, can you speak to the contents of those pallets so we have an idea as to what y'all have in mind for donating?
Oh, definitely. Let me read it here for you. Pull it up. All right. So far, pallet of green, giant canned vegetables, things like beans and corn, cheese, pallet of mixed canned tuna, creamy peanut butter, toilet paper, and also 10 cases of canned sweet potatoes as well. That's what we're looking at.
Okay. from Staples. Mr. City Manager, could you get the press release out by tomorrow?
We can certainly get it out. I just want to convey or get with Will to see if that might be something that we may not need to do just based on the extreme conditions that we're currently in.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So I updated the authorizing the city manager to acquire food for donating to Lakeland residents in need during COVID-19 in partnership with St. Paul's Church for a not-to-exceed amount of $8,000.
That sounds agreeable. Thank you.
I'll second it.
All right, so motion,
sounds good.
Motion is there and seconded by Vice Mayor Roman. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I will close the floor for discussion, and I will ask Shane if he would please call the roll on this resolution number 7.
Item number 7, resolution authorizing the city manager to acquire food for donating to Lakeland residents in need due to COVID-19 in partnership with St. Paul's Church for a not-to-exceed amount of $8,000. Vice Mayor Roman?
Yes.
Mr. Dial?
Yes.
Mr. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Wright?
Yes.
Mayor Cunningham?
Yes.
Resolution passes 5 yeas, 0 nays.
All right, that completes the agenda. I'll ask if anyone has any announcements. Okay, hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
One question, please. Is there a call tomorrow, please?
Yeah.
The holiday, let me know what you want to do.
Yep, I'll be here.
Okay, 3 o'clock. Thank you.
All right. And with that, I'll call
you.
I'm sorry. Sorry, y'all came out garbled. Commissioner Dow?
Oops, I lost him. Lost the call.
Whoops. Did everybody hang up?
I don't know.
Set for an hour and it maybe died in an hour. That's probably what happens. A lot of times that's what happens.
Please enter your access code followed by the pound. To enable audio control, please enter your audio.
Okay, am I back? Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Sorry about that. Call got
can you hear me now?
Whew, man, we were worried here, sweating. I'm entertaining a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn by the Vice Mayor, and we have a second by Commissioner Dow.
Thank you. I think y'all said that at the same time as it came across here. It's very garbled, so we didn't understand what that was. So, any discussion on adjourn? Unfortunately, we'll have to have a roll call vote to adjourn.
Vice Mayor Roman?
Yes.
Mr. Dial?
Yes.
Mr. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Wright?
Yes.
Mayor Cunningham.
Yes. Thank you all. This has been an experience, and it went very well, and I just want to thank you all. Enjoy your night and stay safe.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your patience. Good night.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Good night.